everyone. Welcome to the Copy Blogger Podcast. My name is Tim Stoddart. As always, I am here with Tim Stoddart. Good to see you, Tim.
Likewise, Tim.
All right, Tim. Okay, some really quick front of the pod updates. I am currently in Boise, Idaho at the ConvertKit conference, which is why my sound quality may be a little bit below what it usually is. I'm in a hotel in Boise recording on my Surface. And my voice is a little bit jacked up because the intro party yesterday at ConvertKit was a little bit loud. And so I spent like 3 hours basically trying to scream over the music. And so if my sound quality and my voice is a little bit worse than usual, please bear with me. Luckily, Ethan did all the work this week and he basically did all the preparation. So I am looking forward to that. Real quick before we jump into it though, I have a cool piece of information to share with you, Ethan. And that is that for the first time, I think since doing this pod, I finally felt the feeling of getting to know all of these like magical analytics on the other side of the podcast, which is the people that actually listen to us. And dude, people listen to our pod. Like I had probably 5 or 6 people come up to me yesterday. It's like, hey, I love your podcast. I love what you and Ethan are doing. And it's cool to get the recognition. It's not all about that because we have other reasons to do it. But it really was like one of the first times I ever felt that sort of like, oh, wow, people do listen and people do care. And so I appreciate everybody coming up to me. And I thought you would get a kick out of that. It was cool.
That is awesome. It's funny too. That's, I don't know. I guess you kind of forget about it as you show up to record every week. Cause for me, this is mostly just talking to you, but, to everybody listening, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for saying something to it. I think it makes it, I can speak for both of us when I say it makes our days when we hear that kind of stuff. In fact, funny that you mentioned this, cause I wanted to bring a segment back that we used to do all the time, which is like the quick listener shout out.
Oh, yeah.
I think this person probably reached out to you. I know she reached out to me. So I wanted to shout out Sarah Vanstini. Did she reach out to you?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
On Twitter?
Well, I think you get a lot more inbound on Twitter than I do. But Sarah Vanstini is a listener. She's also a founder of an agency called Stories with Substance. And she reached out, just sent a really nice note on Twitter, said like, hey, big fan of the podcast. And so I just wanted to give her a quick shout out. I looked at her website too. It looks pretty cool. She basically, it seems like she does marketing for specific types of companies, like specifically healthcare and law and maybe a couple others. But what I wanted to shout out about it, the reason I wanted to bring this back too, is because I think it's time we start like focusing more on connecting some of the people who do listen to this show with each other so that they know who else is out there. They can share resources and stuff like that. So the thing that caught my eye about Sarah's LinkedIn was that she recently hired a content writer. And she was hiring at a pretty good rate, like $20 an hour, which is not bad for like a freelance content writing gig. So I thought it could be cool to shout her out and just say to people listening to this show, like there are other people who listen to this show and they hire writers. So if you're interested in writing for a living or kind of doing some of the stuff that we talk about in here, I don't know, keep an eye out for some of the other people who are kind of in this ecosystem.
For sure.
Because they're out there and they're hiring and they're doing cool stuff. So anyways, Sarah, thanks for listening to the show. And anybody else who's interested in keeping up with her, you can check her out at storieswithsubstance.com.
So cool. It's happening. Like, we always talk behind the scenes about podcasts and about how all we can figure out in terms of how to grow it is just to keep recording and keep recording and basically ignore the analytics. You're a little bit better at that than I am. But last week was our highest listened to episode ever, if that's the way to say it, which surprised me because I felt like it was a little bit more of like a technical kind of dry subject where we did some more analytical SEO and not I don't know, let's call it like a newsworthy, like kind of gossipy episode, like some of the stuff that we've done with Elon Musk and like the social media wars and stuff like that. So I was surprised to see it, but I just, anyone trying to grow a podcast, like really, I can't think of, at least I haven't discovered any hack or secret or anything other than do not miss a week and just keep publishing and keep publishing. And even if you don't feel great about what you just recorded, just publish it and you'll get better and you'll get better. I mean, I think it's happening, really. I think we're doing it. It's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that, by the way. And I'm glad to hear that last week's like dry analytical episode was popular, yeah, because we've some got words. Another one today, which we'll get into in a minute. But as as far as the growth thing goes, I totally agree. And I was thinking about this for myself too. I'm like, when's the last time I started listening to a new podcast? There's basically only two reasons. I mean, I never, well, maybe somebody caught my attention on like a YouTube short, maybe. But the podcasts that are in my circulation are ours, embarrassingly enough. My First Million. And like the Tim Ferriss Show and Joe Rogan. I mean, I don't listen to much else besides that. And when I think about why I started listening to those, it was like I needed them for work. Somebody that I was close to recommended them, or maybe I found their work through something else. So like Tim Ferriss, obviously, found him way before he did the podcast. But there are very few reasons that I add a new podcast to my circulation. And I think most people are kind of the same way. So I don't know how Danny Miranda's doing it. I got to check in and like read up on his newsletter because I know he's been kind of recording the journey over there. He's growing quite fast, but he also produces a lot. He's been doing 3 episodes a week for like 2 years or 3 years or something like that.
Yeah.
So that whole concept of just don't miss and keep going, I think there's something to that. It's super hard to grow though.
For sure.
Speaking of growth, I think that takes us into this thing that I wanted to talk about with you today. And I'll tee this up for the listeners who are not watching the video. We're going to talk about landing pages for world-class newsletters, and specifically how they are using email captures across their website to basically turn the attention that they get on the website into subscribers. This is a super basic thing that a lot of people sort of think that they grasp. I certainly fell into that camp too. But then when you have a website and you are responsible for placing email captures, all of a sudden you kind of hit a wall and you're like, or at least I kind of hit a wall and was like, oh, where should I actually put these in order to make this the most effective thing that it possibly could be? So for a little bit of backstory, and for anybody who's like new, my current job is to oversee content marketing at a company called Hampton. And we have we've published some blogs. We've got a few newsletters and they're kind of cooking. They're doing well, but it's like that early well where it's like we're still kind of riding on luck and our reputation's just kind of in the marketplace, not necessarily on the content on its own or the systems that we've built or anything like that. Nothing's really optimized yet. So we're about to press the gas on growth. And before we do that, I really just want to make sure that our bucket isn't leaking, right? So we've got this website, we're driving traffic to it. We're going to start driving more traffic to it. It seems like it makes sense to make sure that that website is set up to capture as many emails as possible. And so I set out this week to look at how a few other websites are currently doing this. And I'll get into how in a second, but for the people listening, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to have Tim share his screen and look at the websites, and I'll talk through it verbally. So if you're not watching the video, you're not going to miss anything. But I want him to kind of like react to what he sees as maybe a new person landing on the site. And then I'll talk through some of the things that caught my attention, because what I found looking at, and we'll talk about probably 3 companies if we have time, I found some commonalities that I think could be boiled down into a very specific framework of things that you need to have in order to like maximize the effectiveness of your email captures. And then I found some things that stand out that each website does differently that are really interesting. And when you look at them across the entire spectrum, I think you benefit because you're not just like in your own little silo. So we'll get into it. I think that's all the tee up. Does that feel like all? Did I miss anything?
No.
Are you in the dark about anything?
I know what I'm doing. I'm ready to go.
Okay, cool. Just go ahead and share your screen. And then for each one of these, what I want to do is I want to find them via Google first and then click through via, let's just say, like a non-sponsored link. So whatever their organic search result is.
All right. Beat me up. What am I doing?
All right. First one, it will be The Hustle, right? So this is a classic. Again, for people who don't know me, I worked for this company for years. The Hustle, currently owned by HubSpot. Well, go ahead and search for it in Google. Yeah. So they'll be going to it via
their I'm just typing in The Hustle.
Yeah. Because I think it'll be important to comment on like SEO too. So interestingly enough, it's not even the top ranking result. The Hustle is like a
bunch of movies that came out. Which is pretty interesting. However, do you want me to click on the organic result? You want me to click on the ad? They both go to the same page, but they might have different like dynamic variables.
Let's do the organic result.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like I was saying, this is The Hustle. Interesting company, great newsletter company, one of the early newsletters that really got started in the space and had like a large exit back in 2021 or so like that. And I worked here for years. So this was basically where I started, and it's pretty easy for me to deconstruct because I know a lot of what's going on behind the scenes. But here's kind of the weird thing. We have two newsletters at The Hustle. One is The Hustle Daily. The next is Trends. Trends is a paid newsletter. And for as close as those two products are, the writing teams didn't really interact that much. So when I came to this page to kind of break it down, a lot of this was actually new to me and I was surprised by what I saw. So I want to start with exactly what we're seeing here. So for people listening, Tim just clicked the link. We're looking at what we would call like the above the fold section of the newsletter's homepage. So that's what you can see without scrolling immediately when you land on the site. Tim, is there anything like what kind of stands out to you when you look at this as like just either an SEO guy or a marketing guy or as a new subscriber potentially come here to explore the newsletter?
The thing that stands out to me is that, and this might not be that specific to The Hustle, it's just like a trend, a pattern that I've recognized, is it seems like everyone has jumped on board with this particular design layout. I don't want to call anybody out. I've noticed The Hustle, I've noticed Morning Brew, I've noticed Cody does that. It's always like get smarter about thing in a certain amount of time or less. And then there's a cell phone. It's always a cell phone, by the way. It's hardly a computer screen. It's always a cell phone that has like a sample of what the newsletter is going to look like. I remember being a little bit surprised when I saw this redesign, because the old Hustle before the acquisition didn't have the blog post on it and stuff like that. And that's a little bit more conversion friendly. If you're just like a straight newsletter, it's rare that you would put the content on the homepage and even links on the navigation bar, because you're just giving the user so many different things to do other than just sign up for the email. So I remember seeing that and being pretty surprised. But to answer your question directly, the first thing I see is it seems like this boilerplate framework of the same tagline, get smarter in something, something in a certain amount of time or less, with a picture of a cell phone that either has a static image of an article, or in this case, it's like a rotating GIF that shows a couple different potential options. And it also looks like you guys are smarter than usual. So I shouldn't say smarter, have more like capacity to do cool things just because of the resources. And so I get the feeling that the images that rotate through the image on the cell phone are very, very recent. Like it probably rotates through the most recent articles to keep it timely. That's what I see. I see everybody doing the same shit, basically.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a couple of things I want to dial in on and dissect further in there. You called out a few really interesting topics. The first is the sort of ubiquitous design that's used across the newsletter industry. And I wasn't planning on getting into this in detail. But if you open a new tab, go ahead, open two new tabs, go to Morning Brew and go to the Milk Road as well. And you can just get to them whatever way is fastest. I wanted to just comment on this and say it's very perceptive that you picked up on this, because I saw this too. All three of these websites used to have a basically like a squeeze page. So it was like you said, you'd get here and it would just, there was no option. You couldn't read stories. All you could do was sign up for the newsletter. I might be wrong about the Milk Road though, because they were built on Beehive. I think they were just using a standard, but they just used a standard Beehive page for a long time, which if people are familiar with Substack, it's kind of the same thing. It's a subscribe bar at the top. And then some, I think you can see stories below it, but it was a very basic landing page.
Oh God, look how hysterical this is. Get smarter about crypto. So I'm on Milk Road. Join however many subscribers, 250,000 plus, social proof to get our 5-minute daily newsletter, which basically what they're doing there from a copy standpoint, it reduces friction and it reduces effort. Like really you're reducing the effort. And then on Morning Brew, it says, become smarter in just 5 minutes. Get the daily email that makes reading the news enjoyable. Stay informed and entertained for free. That's probably my favorite copy of all three of them. But yeah, it's like, get smarter about something. I don't know how that became the thing, but everybody does it now.
So that's the second thing that I wanted to click on. So I mentioned when in the lead up to this that I think I uncovered a nice framework for thinking about these email captures. And I don't know whether to call it the PCAT framework or the CATP framework, but it's basically got four elements to
so
it.
So intrigued to see where this is about to go. The CATP framework? What the fuck?
I guess it's going to have to be the CATP framework. Definitely. So the reason I went with PCAT, P-C-A-T, is because basically it works in like this order. If you go over to the Hustle, and we look at the promise, it says, get smarter on business and tech, get this 5-minute newsletter, keeping 2 million innovators in the loop. And then there's the email sign up and it says join free. Okay. So what does the PCAT stand for? First, there's the promise, right? Like, what are you going to get out of this? Then the cost, audience, and time. I guess they're not in order, but promise, cost, audience, time. Promise is you're going to get smarter on tech and business, or over on the Milk Road, get smarter on crypto. I guess the Morning Brew is going to make you smarter on everything.
Yeah, just get smarter.
The cost, it's free, right? And if you look here on Morning Brew, it says, get the daily email that makes reading the news enjoyable, stay informed and entertained. What? For free. Same thing probably over, I would bet, I haven't seen Milk Road, but it's probably the same. Join 250,000. Oh, nope, I'm wrong about that one. But if you go back to the hustle really hammers this home. So their call to action is join free. And in the top right-hand corner of the page, you'll also see like a join free button as well. So they're really hammering home that the cost is zero. You're going to get this information for free. The audience, that's social proof. How big is the audience? 2 million plus, you could say it's hundreds, thousands, whatever is related to your audience. And then the time factor, like you said, lowering the barrier to entry, you're going to get this in 5 minutes. Weirdly, all the newsletters across the entire industry seem to use 5 minutes. So there could be an area of opportunity if you have the first 4-minute newsletter. okay, but that's kind of the basic framework. And as we go through some of the other examples, we'll revisit this to hammer it home, because it seems to be a really important way of thinking through what these ECAPs should actually look like. So,
bro, I gotta interrupt you. It's cat pee. It's not pee cat. It's cat pee.
All right, you heard it here first, people. The cat pee framework for email captures. Cost, audience, time, and promise.
Yeah, okay. I mean, but really, the promise does come first. I'm cracking a joke here, but if you only had one thing to do, Like, PCAP makes more sense. Let's just be real. If you only had one thing to do, all you really need is the promise. And if you have a promise and a join now button, that the promise is probably like 75% of the importance, let's call it. I'm kind of spitballing that number, but I think that's a reasonable assumption. And the promise is most important. So
we're going to see that pattern replicated over and over and over again. And I would be willing to bet that if anybody wanted to do this, you could continue to look at different websites and you'll continue to see it. One of the reasons is, weirdly enough, that there just aren't that many people who are doing important work in the newsletters field. So as an example, you mentioned Cody Sanchez. Matt McGeary does growth for her. And Matt McGeary helped grow Milk Road. And Matt McGeary helped grow The Hustle. And he helped grow 1440. And he helped grow like all these other all these other newsletters that we're going to be talking about. So in some ways, the number of people who are out there doing the work, it's still such a small field that you will see the fingerprints of designers, growth experts, writers across the entire field, just because I think there's so much demand. People see something that's working and they just go to copy it, which, by the way, I think is a perfectly legitimate way to get started. But eventually you got to evolve past it. You got to be a leader and you got to be testing stuff too. So for my part, I actually have deconstructed a bunch of the newsletters that Matt works on because I know that he's working on them and I trust that he's helping to kind of advise and make sure that at least the bucket isn't full of holes, you know, before they go ahead. He specializes more in like ads and stuff like that. But before they press the gas on ads, my assumption is he's going to go ahead and just say, hey, let's make sure we have these kind of basic things in place to make sure the ads are as effective as possible. So two other quick things about this and we'll jump to the next one. You actually called it out, which I'm slightly irritated over, but you got it right. The other cool thing, this is like one of the cool unique things that The Hustle does is this slider in the top right hand corner above the fold. People who go to the website, just go to thehustle.co, do it on your desktop. I'm not sure if it comes up on mobile, but there's this cool like graphic, and you're exactly right. It is actually circulating the last 3 days newsletters through there. So the graphic, cool. It looks like somebody's inbox, then there's three subject sort of exploded out. It looks like three emails that are exploded out. They've got different subject lines in them, and there's images cycling on the phone. And that's I don't know if this is somebody's manually doing this or if it's automatically updated every day, but those are the last 3 days of the newsletter. And there's another kind of interesting subtle thing that's happening here too, which is that every single one of those subject lines is starred, which I think is a nice subtle hint to the reader that there's a lot of emails in your inbox, but this one's probably one that you're going to go ahead and star.
I love that.
It's also clickable, which is cool. So why don't you go ahead and click on one of those?
Oh, dope. So yeah. It has to be dynamic. Yeah, or else it wouldn't. I mean, I guess that's not true. You could put the link in there manually, but totally. I didn't realize that. That's so cool.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. And then the last thing, if you go back to the homepage, or actually you could probably just do it right here. Yeah. Scroll down a little bit. So this is kind of interesting. And this is going a little bit deep, but for like the content nerds, you'll probably enjoy this. The newsletter is made up of two different types of stories. There's like your daily briefs, and those are the timely news pieces. And then every week, The Hustle publishes one deep dive. And it's known as the Sunday story. It was pioneered by this guy, Zachary Crockett, and it kills. It's always great.
My wife
quirky,
loves it,
weird stories. What's that?
My wife loves it. Every Sunday, she like legitimately looks forward to it.
That's great to hear. Yeah. Now there's a handful of writers who actually write them. Zach wrote like the first 100 or so by himself, maybe 150, maybe even more than that. But now there's several people who work to put these out. And just to read some of the headlines, if you scroll down just a little bit more, like why Salvador Dali is the most faked artist in the world. The secretary who helped uncover one of America's strangest Ponzi schemes. Developers who see dollar signs in abandoned downtowns. They're basically just all deep dives. And I wanted to point out two interesting things about this page from a content perspective. So if you just scroll up slightly so we can see the images. Okay, right there is a perfect place to pause. two things that might interest the content nerds. First, the deep dives actually take up the bulk of the page, and the daily briefs are on the, like, the right-hand margin, which is opposite from what I would have expected when I was thinking through where I would place content. But now that I realize it, it also makes sense because the deep dives are longer lasting, they're evergreen, whereas that right-hand side is going to get switched out more. Something about it just feels like it accomplishes two things. First, like, you're kind of putting the more valuable content front and center, stuff that you invest more in. And then also, if it's only the right-hand bar that updates from day to day, that feels less overwhelming than looking at a full page that's constantly changing. So I don't know. I don't know exactly what the thinking was behind this, but I thought that was interesting. The last thing I'll say about this page is that if you look at it, almost all of these images have people in them, and most of them are moving. And it creates this sense that the web page is really, like, alive. And I thought that was interesting too. I'm not sure how much of that is done on purpose or how much of that is just, like, sort of editorial style of the newsletter.
I think hustle, it's the hustle.
Yeah, the hustle is quite different from trends in that way. Like, our most of our images didn't have people in them. But I thought that was interesting. The last thing we'll go through in terms of, like, conversion. Do you mind clicking on one, just any one of the deep dives? Okay, so if you scroll this, what you'll find is that there's basically two more email captures in this. One is going to be about 20% of the way down right there. And it's customized. It says, enjoying this article, get the Hustle's 5-minute weekday roundup that keeps you hip to happenings in tech. I don't know why I can't read this out loud. It's very small on my screen. Hip to happenings in tech, business, and internet things. Now, they still do this the exact same way. So 5-minute, right?
Yeah.
The promise is it's going to keep you hip. The call to action is join free. And then there's, like, an unsubscribe anytime. So, like, cost, barrier to entry. It's using the exact same approach. What's interesting is that it's about 20% of the way down. And if you scroll all the way to the bottom, there'll be another one at the very bottom. And it's customized again to be its own thing. And if you scroll through all the different articles on this site, they follow the same patterns. About 20% of the way down, there'll be one that says, hey, are you enjoying this? And then at the very bottom, it says it's a different call to action, different headline. Okay, so what are the big takeaways? The one is that above the fold sort of format or boilerplate style that you were talking about.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at a brand new newsletter site, I'm going to make sure that my homepage has something like this above the fold, right? And it follows that PCAT format, the CAT PCAT format.
PCAT.
The other takeaway that I thought was kind of cool, custom slider, right? It's a nice to have, but it's pretty slick. And then in-text call to actions and a join free button in the navigation, right? Those are the big things that I'm noticing here. Anything else you want to say about this before we go on to another example?
I do, but I want to see one more. If you're okay with it, I know you said you had three. Let's do another one. And then I want to show, like, some examples, because I have possibly, depending on what you say next, but I have a whole other experiment that I did with email collection that I think might paint a different light as well. So let's do one more, and then I want to chime in with something.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay. So the next one would be, let's do 1440. Are you familiar with 1440?
You've mentioned them before. I don't read them personally, but you've mentioned them.
So I like this example because, to me, I think it breaks a lot of the rules people claim exist around design while simultaneously copying almost everything exactly from The Hustle and other newsletters, right? So for people who are listening, he just pulled up 1440's newsletter, join 1440.com. Above the fold, we're seeing the exact same thing. So the promise, all your news, none of the bias. Then they say, we scour 100 plus sources so you don't have to. Culture, science, sports, politics, business, and more. All in what? A 5-minute read.
And I love how they even highlighted it in yellow. I'm a big fan of that yellow highlight, by the way. I do that in my Tim Stotts blogs like all the time. I think it's very, very good. I'm a huge fan of that. I don't think it's done enough. Like, we don't use color enough in writing.
Well, it's such an interesting point, and this is a really interesting case study to point it out on, because aside from that highlight, pretty much the rest of the site is black and white. Yeah. Their call to action button is black, although it uses the exact same text, the join free text that the Hustle uses. And then they show off how big their audience is, the fact that it's free, the fact that you can unsubscribe anytime. So what we're really looking at here is like a perfect replica almost of the Hustle's call to action. Slim down though, they don't have the exact same fancy visuals. But they do have some things. So in the bottom right-hand corner, there's a little ticker that says how many readers opened the email today. It says 2,556,144. And what's cool is that if you're sitting on the site, it'll continue to update. And I don't know if this is actually updating or if it's just like a nice little design thing, but it's pretty slick. And then the other thing that I really like that they did is their URL. So I mentioned in the last case study that there's sometimes there's like subtle things that you do that nudge prospects or readers or buyers just gently toward thinking about you a different way. In sales, it's like price anchoring, right? Where you'll start talking about high prices in order to get people comfortable thinking about bigger numbers. Mm-hmm. And in the last sample, I showed like the email subject lines were all starred so that you start thinking about the Hustle as a special email. Here, their URL is not just like 1440newsletter.com. They actually went and picked join1440.com, which I think was pretty smart. So the big thing to point out here on the homepage is just that it's very similar to the Hustle with a lot of the sort of design elements scraped down to bare bones. Not a lot of color. There's not a lot of articles in the way, but that same PCAT format exists. The last thing I'll show you on this site, and then we can get to your case study, is if you scroll down to the very bottom, see how they keep using this highlighting feature.
So cool. I love
the rest
it.
Of the site's in black and white. But if you go all the way down, I just want you to click on like today's email. So you can see, I was wondering if they use, if you go bottom left-hand corner.
And today's briefing?
Yeah. I was wondering if they were going to have the same in-text calls to action, but they don't. They have instead, the email is pretty clean. There's no calls to action in there, but there's a sticky footer on the bottom of the screen as you scroll that says, hey, join over 2.6 million people for unbiased content summed up in a 5-minute read, which I thought was smart. And I'm not sure how much insight Matt has into this. I know this is one of his clients, but I really want to find out if he's seen any data on which of these two converts better. In my mind, having the sticky footer is kind of cool because at any point in the email, you could be like, man, this is cool. And then it's easy to sign up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have opinions on that? Like, which between that or the in-content call to action, which do you think would work better?
Well, both. I don't even know if it's about working better. I use sticky headers a lot, but I use them for our clients' websites. And the reason is because our KPI is different, where we're always trying to generate phone calls. And so the idea is if you're trying to generate a phone call and you're on mobile, you want the click to call button to be as easily accessible as possible. So we basically designed like our own customized sticky footer that has the hamburger and then the button that we can, it's not a plugin. We just built it into our theme more or less. And so I know that the sticky header is like 2 times the conversions, but I have no idea what that would look like in terms of email signups. And I see them both. I don't know. I'd like to see the data. I'm curious about that. Because that also is sort of a perfect transition into what I was thinking about talking about. Is there anything else in here that you want to touch on?
No, not on this particular site. I have one wrap up for the topic, but let's do your case study first.
Okay. Well, I didn't plan on talking about this, by the way. I thought it was just fascinating because I did an experiment and I wrote it in the Copyblogger newsletter about 3 weeks ago. And the experiment was about pop-ups. And I am now fully team pop-up. The data was just so freaking clear. And it also made me reconsider how I think about in-content CTAs, because what does it matter if you have a pop-up? So pop-ups have downsides, for sure. They can be annoying for some people. There's some speculation that they hurt with SEO, and that could be potentially problematic. But the results that I got from the pop-up were pretty staggering. So I'm still going to pull up my computer screen. We are looking at the archive of the newsletter that I sent to Copyblogger on May 12th. And I'm not going to read it word for word. The article is an experiment that tripled my email subscribers. I open it basically by talking about some guy that made a comment to me as I was doing my presentation at CEX last month, just about like my incentives. Do I do anything to incentivize people? And I said, no, not really. My thinking is always that if I'm in line with what my subscriber is looking for, then that's the most important thing I can do. And I'm not going to try to bait it anymore. But I don't know, I was on the plane and I just really was thinking about it. So I started with Sober Nation. This is the pop-up that I created. It's a full screen pop-up. You can see, I mean, I'm totally with you. I'm all about stealing what works. The promise, join the recovery revolution. Every Friday, I'll send you a short email with the week's best resources to help you live your dream life in recovery. I got the picture of the cell phone. This is a full screen pop-up, by the way. So it happens as you're about 30% down the screen. That's the trigger. And look at the data, dude. 7 days, I increased my emails by 45%. Wow. So 99 email subscribers from this Sober Nation pop-up in 1 week. Now, before I go any further, I think it's also important to take a step back to analyze what the point of your website is, right? And this is pretty hysterical because I saw this pop up and I was really excited. I was sending the data to my partner, to David, about like, hey man, like I think we also have another play here with Sober Nation. We can turn this into a little bit more of a media thing and maybe have like an ad network with I don't know, other resources. Like there's all types of tech companies coming into the space and even like VR stuff. So, you know, my brain is spinning. But what did I do? I completely killed the main conversion of the website, which is to drive the phone calls. And I basically cost myself like 12 grand last in the month. Like, dude, if I showed you the text messages that David sent me, he's just like, dude, get rid of this thing. Like, why are you killing our business? And so, yes, the pop-up was very, very effective. But I think it's also just important to take a step back and be like, hey, what is your business? And like, are you cutting off your nose to despite your leg or whatever the expression is? So that happened. Nonetheless, 45% increase with the pop-up. So next, I did it on Your Boulder. Your Boulder, by the way, is doing better than it's ever done. I still can't figure out how to make money from it. The site doesn't get a ton of traffic, but this has continued to increase. So this was on May 12th, and over a 7 day period, I increased the conversions by 300%. I was getting about seven emails a week. Now I'm getting 24. This week it's 30. And so my email list for Your Boulder is like really, really growing. In fact, one of the reasons I came out here is because Nathan, the founder of ConvertKit, he owns a local newsletter called From Boise. And he has like an outbound sales strategy. And he said he would introduce me to the woman that runs his outbound team. And like, yeah, this one pop-up alone is really making Your Boulder relevant enough that it might make sense for me to start doing outbound sales. So this one pop-up, this is what it looks like. Never miss a thing in Boulder. That's the promise. Sign up for our free, there's the cost, weekly email with Boulder's best events, concerts, happy hour deals, comedy shows, and more. directly in your inbox every Friday. I don't have the cell phone. I have a nice picture of the Flatirons, which Boulder is like a very crunchy, hikey nature town. So that works better. This pop-up is killing it. And yeah, so
300%. You're using ConvertKit for both of those?
Yeah. I was using Hello Bar. Like, honestly, Hello Bar is a little bit cooler because you can A-B test the forms, whereas with ConvertKit, like, you just have one form and you can trigger it. You can't rotate them, like, half and half. And you can just do cooler things with Hello Bar. But it was $24 a month per site. And I don't know. It just kind of was like, whatever, I'll save the money and I'll use ConvertKit. And I'm still using the pop-up on your Boulder. I have since deleted the pop-up on Sober Nation, obviously. nonetheless, the data is pretty clear. And to show you how much I am like really eating my own, taking my own medicine, whatever it is, I put a pop-up on Copyblogger as well. And I had a record number of email subscribers. I think I'm already cookied on Copyblogger. So if people are watching the video and it doesn't show up, forgive me. But it is here. If you go to the website and you clear your cache, it'll definitely be there. Yesterday, I got 119 subscribers. It's the most I ever got. And wow. All of it, yeah, usually I would do like 70 to 80 a day. And I put the pop-up on, you know, I gave it about a week after I wrote this case study on May 12th, just to sort of make sure it wasn't like a fluke, you know. But I put the pop-up on Copyblogger about 3 weeks ago. And I went from about 70 to 80 a day to 95, 100 a day. And just this week, 118 was the most I ever got. So there's a wow. There's this other side of me that's thinking like, squeeze pages are out. Let's back to do SEO. Who cares what page they land on? Get them to the site however you get them. And then do a pop-up. So maybe I just threw a wrench in the whole thing, but this is something I've really been taking seriously.
Yeah, no, I think, well, this is actually perfect. This is a perfect segue into the final note that I wanted to share about this, because really, if you kind of zoom out for a second, you're left with this question of like, okay, we see all these different tactics being used, but which ones do you need in place? You know, above the fold, a button in the nav, email capture in the footer, pop-ups, exit intent, in content, calls to action, all that kind of stuff. I reached out to Matt and I just asked him, I'm like, hey, have you seen any data on this? Or do you have like a list of what you consider to be the absolute bare bones minimum that a website needs it to put in place for this? And what he told me, maybe I should pull it up so I don't misquote him.
Yeah.
I'll give you the gist of what he told me because I can't get to my Twitter right now. But he basically said two things. He said, one, here's a list of 52 different email capture strategies. And he sent me a list from, who's the guy who runs Inbox Collective?
Never heard of it.
Sorry. Dan Oshinsky. People who don't know Dan Oshinsky, super interesting guy. He was head of newsletters at BuzzFeed and The New Yorker. So he knows a ton. He runs this company called Inbox Collective, and he also writes something called Not a Newsletter, which is actually just a Google sheet or Google document that he updates once a month with like all the great information on newsletters.
Cool.
So Dan is an OG newsletter guy and he knows a ton about it. He wrote this awesome article, 52 Ways to Grow Your Email List. And he basically breaks down, it's super long. He breaks down just all the different things that we're talking about here and dozens more as well. So that we'll link to that article in the show notes, but Matt's opinion was there's a bunch of ways you can skin this cat. You should have like the main above the fold thing to capture attention when people first hit your site.
Totally.
And then on top of that, what he said was at least four or more different tactics is ideal. Anything less than that, and you're sort of like letting opportunities slip by. So I thought that was really interesting. For me, what I've seen on these newsletters so far is I'm going to get us above the fold on our newsletter, on our blog homepage. We'll redesign that so that it works well. I'm going to make sure that our exit intent pop-up is customized and we'll also probably do like a page scroll pop-up that again is customized to the interaction. And then we'll do like probably in content and then just make sure that like the other areas of the site have a couple of options too: footer, nav bar, maybe the sidebar. But it's like 3 to 5 things that I can think of off the top of my head that will just make me feel a lot more comfortable pressing the gas on growth. It's funny. Oh, as I'm standing here talking to you, I've got the 52 ways to grow your email list thing popped up or pulled up and just got started with a pop-up. So pop-ups. So those are the big takeaways. Remember that PCAT framework, which is your promise, the cost, the audience type, and the time that they're going to invest in like getting the promise. And then we'll link off to this list of 52 ways. Just make sure you're picking several, I think is kind of the win. And funny enough, for people who like this, this exercise took me like 2 hours and I was taking notes while I did it. And as I did it, I started landing on newsletter companies where I was like, oh, they're missing out here. They're missing out there. Yeah. So just this exercise of looking at a couple of other websites and seeing what they're doing can very quickly put you in a position where you feel like you spot the missed opportunity. And now I'm going to take that back to our own site and we'll start a process of getting that all ramped up.
That's dope. I love that. And we got a couple more minutes. I guess I'll just go a little bit behind the scenes as well. There's one thing I've thought a lot about when it comes to collecting emails on pages, and that is the sidebar. There's people that say the sidebar is a distraction, and there's people that say the sidebar is actually kind of useless because the majority of your traffic comes from mobile. And if that's the case, then the sidebar doesn't even necessarily show. It's put underneath the content. However, I have decided over and over again to keep the sidebar, and that is simply because the data shows that people really do subscribe here. And here's my theory on it. I have no data to back this up, by the way, but here's what I think. When I am actually engaged in an article that I am reading, especially if it's a long article, most of the time I'm on my computer. If I'm reading something on my cell phone, like, yeah, sure, I'll deep dive into stuff on my cell phone from time to time. But, you know, if I'm reading one of Noah's pieces that we talk about, or even like one of the Tim Urban things that we talk about, I'm almost always on my computer. And so when I see people signing up for this sidebar email, my assumption, again, no data for this, but what I've kind of convinced myself of is that these people are serious readers who see the sidebar because they're on their computer. And I did the same thing, by the way, for Tim Stodds. This is why I still have a sidebar on Tim Stodds, because I don't know, like I'm almost nervous to say this because I have no idea if it's true or not. I just really, really see that about 10 to 20% of my email subscribers still come in from the sidebar form. And so They're there. And I think personally, that these are people that are the most engaged, because if they weren't, they probably would just read it on their phone and scan it. Now, here's, I think, the missed opportunity. So if I go back to my copy blogger site, I have more than one thing on the sidebar. I have the email sign up, and then I have the CTA for digital commerce. And then I also have some links. I do this for SEO mainly on the content. I got a little CSS error there. On the content CTA, I always put a lead form to try to collect agency leads. And by the way, if somebody fills out this conversion assessment, I also get this email address. I just put them into like a nurturing automation to try to close them. But the same concept, I'm all about in content CTAs. I'm all about them. I always put them about a third of the way down. But what I'm getting at, what I really think is the huge missed opportunity for me and probably for a lot of other people, is this sidebar should stick. So as I scroll down, this thing should follow me and just be everywhere. And the person who does this really well, is what the hell is this? That's crazy. Is Neil Patel, and you can see that on his long form content pages, once I get past this yep. thing right here, his CTA, this is more of a lead collection form than it is an email pop-up form, but this sticks and it follows me everywhere. And so I guess in self
reflection, that's a great point.
Yeah, I feel like I'm taking pretty good advantage of it. I have the pop-up. I have, you know, I'm following the format on both of my sites. I'm sure there's room for improvement, you know, Copyblogger probably even more so, the typical format that you went through. But I think there's a huge opportunity to have, I'm clicking through windows so much because of all these damn pop-ups. I think there's a huge opportunity to make it so that if you do decide to keep your sidebar form, it sticks and it follows you everywhere. It's, I think I'll actually do that now that we talked about it.
Yeah. I like how clean it is too. The rest of the sidebar kind of melts away and it's just the form. You know, there's not a lot of distraction there.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's cool.
This was good, man. I hope people enjoyed it. You can let us know what you think. Before we go, I want to try a new-ish segment. I want to do a quick creator shout out. And I think this could be a cool thing to do potentially week to week. I've got two to talk about this week. Give them each 1 minute. But there's just so many people doing cool stuff. And when you do as much research as we do, I'm constantly stumbling across them.
Yeah.
And I just want to start calling them out. So I've got two. One is Eric from Exploding Ideas. Have you seen this guy?
Nope.
Okay. Most people probably haven't. I think he's kind of just getting started, but you're gonna know his name in a year from now. I can almost guarantee it. And then the other is Billy Oppenheimer. Do you know him?
No. How do you
awesome.
Know?
All right. I always like when I can surprise you with something. So first one, Eric from Exploding Ideas. Let me grab his Twitter handle real quick. It is.
Wait a minute. This is Brian Dean's site.
Who's Brian Dean?
Brian Dean was the guy that started Backlinko. He sold Backlinko to SEM Rush.
explodingideas.co.
definitely.
Are you sure?
Oh, no.
Because
I'm on explodingtopics.com. sorry. explodingideas.co.
yep. So okay, for people listening, the Twitter handle is Eric LAMIDEAS, Eric Lam Ideas. And I would almost maybe don't pay too much attention to the newsletter, because what he talks about, he says the newsletter is startup ideas sent weekly. That's cool. There's a bunch of people who are doing that kind of thing in this space. But here's my guess. A year from now, people are going to know this guy because he's going to build a very well-defined system for marketing newsletters on Reddit. I've seen a couple of things he's talked about on Twitter so far, and it seemed like at one point, I'm not sure if he feels this way, but like he mentioned that he grows his newsletters on Reddit. And ever since he said that, almost everything else he's published has been about that. And there's like a bunch of demand about it. Nobody's talking about that right now. Everybody grows newsletters on Twitter or on LinkedIn, but Reddit's got huge potential. So I think he's going to become like the guy who really formalizes the approach to growing newsletters on Reddit. That's my prediction. I'm going to say it now, and then a year from now, we'll come back to it and see what he's actually up to. Anyways, Eric from Exploding Ideas, he's doing cool stuff. And I would suggest checking him out, because there's probably a pretty good opportunity to grow on Reddit right now, since it's still mostly not contested from a newsletter standpoint.
Yeah, because Twitter is such a shit show now.
It definitely is, especially now that Justin Welch has gotten his hands on it. I'm calling you out, Justin. Everyone's using your goddamn templates, man. Yeah. Everyone's taking your class. So, including me, by the way. You said it's a quick recommendation for Justin's class. It's really good if you don't feel like you know, or if you don't feel like it's easy to come up with ideas for social media. He's built probably the best system I've seen so far for creating like a content engine. It's very good. I highly recommend it. But you start to see it pop up everywhere, and That's interesting. So anyways, Eric from Exploding Ideas is one. The reason I wanted to call him out, aside from the work that he's doing, is that it's an interesting example of how you don't really choose your topic early on. Like, you talk about a lot, and then gradually your audience helps you choose your topic.
Yeah, that's so true.
Who's next? The other guy, you're going to like this, Billy Oppenheimer. The Twitter handle, why don't you go look him up? It's B-Pop. Actually, I'll just send it to you. Here, I'll send it to you on Slack.
I got it.
Or on
B-Pop. Zoom.
I'm gonna send it to you in the messages here on Zoom. Right. Oh, actually, I can't. It's B-Pop.
Come on, dude.
Hey, it's not my fault. It's Zoom. I don't know where all the controls went. But it's I'll spell it for you. B-P-O-P. P-E-N. And that's him at the top. And the full handle is B. Poppenheimer. Anyways, this dude's a research assistant for Ryan Holiday. And so people who are into Ryan's stuff or know his background in terms of like storytelling or research will know that, like, working with him, you get just a huge exposure to a lot of different topics. And he's got a very interesting and like regimented approach to capturing ideas. Ryan Holiday does. Are you familiar with his like note card system? Ryan Holiday's pretty well known for like revitalizing this thing called the Zettelstein, which is like an idea. It's a second brain that you build with note cards. And so I won't get into the details here, but Billy wrote a great article related to that. We'll share it in the show notes. Anyways, scroll this kid's feed. He's got about 57,000 followers, but look at the numbers that his stories put up.
Oh, shit. 22,000 likes. This is a really cool photo, actually. This was on Alien, when he was doing Alien. That there's a really cool show on Netflix called The Movies That Made Us that I enjoy. And James Cameron apparently is like really, really difficult to work with because he's so obsessive about details. And they did a whole piece on that show about this one particular photo. So that's cool. Oh, Jerry Seinfeld, my dude, don't break the chain.
Yeah, 22,000, 4,000, 8,000. Like, his threads just don't miss. For somebody with an audience this size, his engagement punches way above its weight class. And I think it's because he's an excellent storyteller. And if you read his pieces, he's often linking very disparate ideas together. So he'll like start with a story about a star and then show how that connects to something else. And that is largely the result of that note card system that I was talking about, because it allows you to connect ideas and see connections where they didn't exist before. So, I mean, it's foolish for me to even say I predict big things for him, because he's already on the way up. But people are going to know Billy's name too. And I think he's a really, really interesting guy. Funny enough, I actually asked Chanel this yesterday. I was like, will you please, please, please reverse engineer how the hell he's doing this?
Awesome.
So if you see her out in Boise.
I saw her yesterday.
Yeah. Ask her too. I'm trying to get him bumped to the top of her list. Chanel, if you're listening to this.
Cool. I love this. He's using the standard framework Genesis theme on his website, billyoppenheimer.com/newsletter. Cool. I can't wait to dive in. So I have one as well. And this isn't necessarily something to show, but I've officially allowed to say this now. Sparkloop, which is a company we've talked about many, many times. They sold to ConvertKit. And today is June 9th, and I know that they're making the official announcement today at the conference. Louis, who again is somebody that we talked about before, he's been like one of my really, really good internet friends, like kind of similar to you and I, to where we finally got to meet in New England. And like, it was so cool to meet you, you know. It was really, really cool to meet Louis yesterday. I saw him at the party, and like, as soon as he saw me, he just smiled and ran up and gave him a big hug. And it was just so cool to see like a friend that I've gotten to know over the last 4 years, like finally in person. I know, as somebody that was involved in like really small piece, I'm not trying to take any credit. Louis and his team have worked their asses off for Spark Loop over the past couple years. And it's really, really cool what they're doing with this ConvertKit acquisition of Spark Loop, and how, like, slowly, I don't know this, I can see how they'll start to integrate some of the software, or maybe they'll keep it standalone. But Spark Loop as it is right now mainly works with ConvertKit. So I think it's a great acquisition. I think it's really great for both parties. Congratulations to Louis. Congratulations to Louis's partner. I don't know his name, but I've spoken to him a few times through chat, and I know that he's a hard worker as well. Really pumped for the team and just can't wait to see what happens. So congrats to all of them, and congrats, Louis, you're the man.
That's awesome. And yeah, for people interested in referral programs, definitely check Louis and Spark Loop out. He knows a lot of what he's talking. I mean, he knows a ton about what he's talking about, because Spark Loop runs most of the biggest newsletter referral programs in the world that are not custom built by their publishers. So like Tim Ferriss's newsletter was on there. There's a bunch of others as well.
They do 1442. So, that's how I know who they are, even though I don't read them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that's awesome, man. I didn't realize that, but congratulations, Louis and Nathan and everybody involved in that deal.
Yeah.
Anything else, or should we wrap this puppy up? Too. What's that?
I said congrats to the investors too.
Oh yeah. Was that you? Were you an investor?
Yeah, I was one of the first.
Dude, holy shit. I guess maybe you have mentioned that in the past, but I didn't go two and two together.
Yeah, because every time we talk about Spark Loop, like, I'm not an SEC lawyer or anything like that. And so I'm always like, do I have to say that I invested in it? And so, like, I always do, just to cover my ass. But it's cool.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah, thanks. I'm not like an angel investor by any means. I actually think angel investing is like a really stupid, terrible business. I'm much more of the Warren Buffett type model, like wait till a company cash flows and then get involved in it. But it was, I didn't even really look that much into the business, to be honest. It was just Louis. Like, I just know Louis so well. And I was like, hey man, whatever you're doing, I'm in. And so it's probably the first, and I don't know if it'll be the last. It's not something I plan on making a habit of, but either way, even though it's, I'm batting 100%.
Like, there you go. Rule number one, don't lose money. All right, so everybody go sign up for Tim's new investing newsletter, where he'll share all of his best investing tips. That's awesome though, man. Congratulations. And I hope it's not the last one. It seems like a big win for you and the team. So congrats.
Thank you.
All right, people, we're going to wrap this up. Tim's got a conference to get to. I've got a barbecue to get rolling. But for everybody who does tune in, thank you very much. And hit us up on Twitter. Say, hey, we'd love to shout you out on the podcast and just kind of know more about who's out there and who's listening. So until next time, thanks for listening. We'll see you in 7 days.
Appreciate you guys. See ya.